But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or that hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. These words of our Lord Jesus teach us about the second coming of Christ, when the Lord Jesus will come again in glory and all the angels with him to judge the living and the dead, at a time when no one knows about it. And he speaks about this time preceding his second coming as a time of tribulation. In some of the books of the Old Testament, there is prophesied the fact that this time before the second coming of Christ will be a time of great distress. Now, this message is very difficult. It means that we're going to go through a period of great distress. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the saints as those who have survived the period of great distress. What is distress? Distress is when everything seems to have something wrong with it, when there seems to be no peace and there is only challenging situations that really weigh us down and can even frighten us. We don't have to think too long to notice that there is distress in the world. There also will be distress in the church, and also in our own communities. This time of distress will touch everything, times of wars and persecutions and corruptions and all kinds of evil. In the world, we are all becoming more and more aware of the threat of Islamic terrorism. This recent attack, this cowardly attack in Paris and France, which is coupled with continued threats of terrorist attacks throughout the world, and other terrorist attacks that are going on right now all over the earth, is a sign of great distress. When you can't even go to some peaceful event without the threat of terrorists being attacked by cowards. You know, after the reports of these attacks in Paris, I began to think about the words of a Catholic archbishop from Mosul, Iraq, who was exiled by the Islamic State. This is the Archbishop of Mosul, now exiled in Erbil. And in 2014, he wrote these words in an interview. He was interviewed by some organization, and these are his words. He's just been exiled by these terrorist attacks, and this is what he says. These are the words of Archbishop Emil Nonna. He's addressing the West, Europe, and America. Our sufferings today are the prelude of those you Europeans and Western Christians will also suffer in the near future. I lost my diocese. The physical setting of my apostolate has been occupied by Islamic radicals who want us converted or dead. That archbishop said those words in August of 2014, and he has more words to say as well, but one wonders if he was in a way prophetic, because now we wake up to this news of this Islamic terrorist attacks in Paris. Times of great distress. In the church, we can also encounter sources of distress when in the church, even within the community of the church, there is all kinds of division, there's controversies, there's dissent from church teaching, there's heresy, there's scandals and corruptions. And all of these things can lead us to become convinced of this truth that we're going through a time of great distress. One can experience this distress in our own country. Even within America, we have a tremendous disrespect for human life. with the wholesale slaughter of unborn children to abortion, the attacks on the life of the elderly and their disrespect toward them, to euthanasia, and also the alarming prevalence of drug abuse among young people and others, which is destroying people's lives. It's definitely another source of great distress. And then finally, even in own families, we can experience this distress when there are divisions, when there's battles and divorces and hatred between brothers and sisters and all kinds of conflicts. All of these things work together to build up the distress of the human race. What is the answer to all this? Sometimes we wonder, we don't know where to begin to address these problems, which have to be addressed. But on a fundamental level, the number one answer that must never be overlooked for each of us in the face of great distress, our chief response should be to renew our personal devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the great King. He is the conqueror of evil, sin, and death. And so in the face of distress, we have to enter more deeply into the One who has conquered all this distress. Jesus is the great victor in His suffering, death, and resurrection, and He's leading us as His disciples. He's leading us as the Good Shepherd to this great family of grace and truth in the kingdom of heaven. And so as we face all of these distresses, it should lead us, each of us, to take time to examine ourselves. Are we truly devoted to Jesus Christ? We have to be devoted to Him, because if we're not, then we're going to get swallowed up by the distress. We'll just be like the rest of humanity, being taken downstream into the sea and ocean of distress, and our souls will be lost. We'll go through life as if we're completely lost. But if we follow Christ, we're on that path of victory, like those saints in heaven, who are the ones who survived that time of great distress. We need to renew our devotion to Christ. That is most important. We need to make sure that we have faith, that we believe everything He teaches, that we have recourse to the sacraments, baptism and the other sacraments, that we have a moral life based on the Ten Commandments and the teachings of our Lord Jesus and His church, which are found in the Catechism if you want to know what those teachings are. And we also need to be people of prayer, where prayer is like breathing for our soul, which keeps us alive. Devotion to Christ is most important. Now, the spirit of evil, which actually is behind all of the distresses in this world, is going to try to get us to not be devoted to Jesus. There's a passage in the Catechism of the Catholic Church that talks about the church's ultimate trial. It speaks about the time when Christ will come again and what's going to happen just before that. This is paragraph 675 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is a book that you should have and should read often. The Catechism says this: before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. So that means something is going to happen that's going to lead many people to stop following Christ. It could be something very subtle, like a slow fog that moves in and eventually makes all of life seem like gray area. There's no certainties. Something that leads people little by little over time to withdraw from being a real disciple of Jesus Christ, or become Catholic or Christian in name only. Or it could be something dramatic, something major, that leads people to reject Christ. That's going to happen, and actually it is happening. The persecution that accompanies the church's pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity. So what's going to happen in this trial is the mystery of evil is going to be revealed. This mystery of iniquity, the Catechism continues, will be the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. Apostasy means basically rejecting the gospel, rejecting the truth that comes from the Lord. So what's going to happen is people are going to be offered a solution to their distresses that requires them to reject God. And it might not be explicit. You know, the spirit of evil is great at presenting something evil but making it appear as something good. This temptation can come again in very subtle ways or very dramatic ways. People will find a solution, will search for a solution to their problems, and the price of it is they've got to hand over that pearl of great price, which is their inheritance in the kingdom of God. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. So what that means is this trial is going to lead people to put themselves above God. And it's the work of the Antichrist where we're going to just turn in on ourselves and focus on humanity and not on God. One theologian refers to this as the anthropological turn, where instead of looking to God for an answer, we look only to ourselves, and we feel like we don't even need God anymore. Well, this is a temptation of the spirit of evil, and it's going to attack every single one of us. There will be a temptation to give up some part of the faith, to do things our own way against the gospel, and that will lead us to get swallowed up in the never-ending torrent of the great distress. We'll be lost in this life and forever in eternity. The times are very distressful. But do you know something? It should inspire us to follow Jesus Christ. Do you know in the book of Revelation, there is a section where the Lord addresses various lands to the church in Ephesus or Smyrna, to Sardis or Laodicea. And basically he says to them, they're doing great, but they got something wrong with them. They're tolerating some sin or something like that. Or they're doing great and they just need to persevere in that greatness and following the Lord. And the warning is that if you don't keep turning to Christ, God's going to withdraw his blessing. You're going to lose that inheritance, that kingdom, inheritance in the kingdom of God. Well, today, all of these lands, which were once thriving Christian communities, have now been dominated by Islam for centuries. It's as if somehow they really weren't faithful to this message of the Lord. But we can be faithful, and we have to be. In the face of all kinds of difficulties and sources of distress, we've got to be Christians. We have to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We have to live in His grace and by His truth. Our Lady, when she came to Fatima almost 100 years ago, said that we need to repent of our sins and pray every day, pray the Rosary especially. And this will lead to peace in the world and the victory of those who follow Christ. But if we don't, it would lead to more war. And so, brothers and sisters, we should remember that in the face of all kinds of distress, you might have some particular distress in your life now. Your number one priority is not to simply eliminate that distress, though that could be desired. Your number one priority is to follow Christ, to look into your own life and to see maybe there's somewhere in my life where I'm tolerating sin, where I'm allowing myself to be led in all kinds of sinful directions. I got to repent of that. I have to turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel, go to confession, receive the gift of divine mercy, and really repent. That's devotion to Christ. Maybe we're not praying enough. Well, we got to renew that prayer. Maybe we don't trust in God enough. Well, we have to renew that trust. And so, brothers and sisters, in this time of great distress, may we choose the path of the saint so that we too can be victorious, that we can pass through this trial and win. May we renew our daily efforts to know our Lord Jesus Christ, to really be His disciples. In this way, we shall know His friendship and blessing in this life, and most importantly, we shall know the eternal reward of His grace in the life to come. God bless you.